Good morning, everyone. Welcome to It's Your Community. It's not always the easiest conversation to have with your children, but it is necessary. And to talk with us about family changes, explaining divorce to children, her new book is Dr. Esmyra Maker. Dr. Maker, thank you for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.
Not an easy conversation, but an important one to have. Is that why what inspired the book? Because people were not having this important conversation?
No, I think people were having these conversations and do have these conversations. I wanted to create a healthy model, an ideal healthy model for parents and adults and therapists to use as a tool when having these conversations with children. I think that's part of what this book is all about, that this is a dialogue, it's an ongoing process. It's not a one-time sit-down conversation, and then I have questions at the back that the adult can use to facilitate the process for the child.
What do you think the biggest struggles when you talk about making it a productive conversation? What do you think holds parents back from making this conversation? What are the biggest obstacles you think they face in this process?
I think number one is how to explain the divorce to the children, especially if it's not a mutual amicable divorce. And I think sometimes for parents, their own emotions, their own feelings, their own upset, they're pretty raw, come in the way, spill over into their conversations with children when explaining the divorce. So I often recommend to parents, you know, in the explanation, keep it simple, keep it to a language that is understandable by the young child, and try not to use blame or fault, assign fault in that process. Because children need to idealize their parents. They, you know, children don't need to know what's happening in the marriage or why it's happening as such, all the details of whose fault it is. Children need to continue to idealize the parent, and parents can promote that even if they're upset with their spouse.
You know, Dr. Maker, as it's indicated and as you've given out some statistics in your book, approximately 40 to 50% of all marriages in the United States end in divorce, likely affecting more than 1.5 million children. As many parents of divorce and professionals working with children of divorce know, the changes in parental dynamics and living situations can have negative short and long-term effects on the children. If the parents don't kind of keep the details away from the children and they find out all the mess in the marriage, what are some of the long-term and short-term effects that has on the children when they become too engaged in the divorce itself?
So the short-term effects, the child can be angry. The child can have some behavioral issues, acting out, meltdowns, temper tantrums, irritability. Children can have anxiety, sleep issues. Children can have difficulties at school. Somebody told me the other day when they were a child and their parents were going through a divorce and they were struggling with the feelings, they started stealing lunch boxes at school and got it. So even simple things like that. If it's really severe conflict and it's ongoing chronic conflict, children can get depressed. And some of the research now for the long term, if it continues and continues, you know, the chronic conflict continues, longer-term effects are showing that it impacts their, the adult child now impacts their relationships, their understanding and ability with intimate relationships, impacts their ability to sustain long-term relationships. So there's a longer-term effect as well, especially with chronic conflict.
And then does it affect children differently depending on the age they were at the time of the divorce?
You know, there isn't that much research that says, you know, if you're five, this is what you'll experience. If you're seven, this is what you'll experience. I think there's a scatter of impact. It's not directly. I think young children are very vulnerable because they don't have the cognitive abilities to understand or control or even have choices. So it can have a debilitating effect if parents don't handle it well with the child. But I don't think there's a direct one-to-one correlation between, you know, if you're five, you shall experience. If you're six, you're higher, more likely to experience depression or anxiety. It can occur across the board.
Dr. Maker, I know you're motivated to write this book based on your clinical work. What were some of the things that you were seeing in your practice that really motivated you to write this interactive template for adults in this book itself?
So for some families, I was seeing where the parents were unable to have these dialogues, healthy dialogues, contained dialogues with children. And children over time were becoming depressed, angry, even teenagers beginning to use pot and smoking and school, just longer-term effects with the chronic conflict. But with the younger children, it's heartbreaking where the kids go from healthy, resilient, happy kids to being angry or scared or anxious. So that was my primary motivating factors. But then I saw couples who did it well and were really able to contain their own feelings, were really able to explain the divorce as a process to the child without blame. There was little conflict in the parenting, in the co-parenting. They had conflict in the marriage, but they kept it to that and did great on co-parenting. I never saw the children. I never had to see the children. Hmm. The kids did great. And that's, you know, it showed me the difference that if you do it well, yes, of course kids are going to be upset. Yes, of course there's loss and grief. Yes, of course there's going to be confusion. But if you really, really do it well, as best you can, then maybe kids will be okay. And the research shows that the majority of kids do fare well. They are resilient.
Mm-hmm. What do you do, though, Dr. Maker, if you have one parent willing to do that and the other parent who's very combative and just refuses to cooperate like that?
Well, usually cases like that go to mediation and then end up in court, unfortunately.
Yeah, they do.
I can only recommend. I can't make do. I can't force. I can only recommend strongly again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually the other parent, when they're frustrated enough, will go to court. That's enforced by court, so that you will have documents by mediators and court orders saying, you know, you will not put the other parent down, you will not do this, you will not do that. There's all these stipulations.
Which usually doesn't. I don't know how effective that is, but, yeah, it's unfortunate when that comes to that situation, because that's got to be the most devastating effect on the children when it gets to that level.
It does, especially if it continues and the children are involved. You know, if the court begins to call the kids in as witnesses or justify, and if there's a court evaluation and the kids are involved in that, that becomes pretty traumatic for kids.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Dr. Esmyra Maker. She's the author of the book Family Changes, Explaining Divorce to Children. When you meet with couples and you explain these statistics, do the ones that tend to start out combative change because they know that could have negative effects on their kids? Or what's been their reception to you when you explain the effects?
I think it's varied. Some parents respond really well. I have a family I'm working with, and they're going through a recent divorce, and I've explained all of this to them, and they both responded well, and they're handling the situation very well with the kids. I'm not seeing the children. I'm hoping I won't see the children. Other families, other parents, you know, it's too much. There's too much conflict. There's too much rawness, too much loss, too much grief, too much anger, and nothing I say, you know, will make a difference. I've got another family like that where I've been begging them for 3 months, please keep the conflict away from the children, and it's to no avail.
Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. Maker, when you talk about 40-50% of all marriages in the U.S., the statistic that we have end in divorce, what is the percentage of that 40-50 where parents could be amicable versus the combative?
That's a great research study. we don't have something like that. I think it would be great to do a longitudinal study nationwide, because a lot of these studies have small sample groups, and they're pretty old. I think it would be great to have a recent research study done, a new one done, a longitudinal one done, where you're assessing these children over time with multiple risk factors being assessed and seeing, okay, how do the children do based on the risk factors they're going through over time?
Mm-hmm.
So if they're assessed, you know, every 6 months, a year, what were the risk factors present? How's the child doing? We would get better data on that.
You talk about the power of storytelling in this process. Can you explain what that entails and why that's important?
So when working with kids, I think there's often a false understanding that, you know, if you sit the child down and you go blah, 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 and explain all the facts to them, that's good enough. Children don't process that way. Children process through play. Children process through imagination. So it's based on play therapy techniques, too. It's based on the technique of displacement, where it's happening to the other. It's happening to the bunny. It's happening to the kitty cat. It's happening to that child. And through that distance and through play and imagination and fantasy, the child is able to work through their own struggles or feelings or confusions. So, you know, when my best recommendation is to parents is, you know, what do I need to do to be a good parent? And I said, you need to play with your child. Just play with your child at their level, with them in the lead. So this book is really, you know, I weave fantasy into it. I weave magic into it. The story, you know, is not just about divorce. It's about the child going through her, the bunny going through her day, and the issue of divorce kind of popping up randomly and sporadically, like in waves, for the child. And that's how children process. So that's why I've used more fantasy storytelling based book as a tool to work through these issues with children.
Are there a lot, is that incorporated in your book, the storytelling?
Yeah, the book is a story. And it's a story about a child going through her day and going to school and having fun with her bunny friends, and it's treasure hunt day at school, so there's a lot of magic involved there. And then suddenly, you know, what does divorce mean? Or she tells her friend, you know, my parents are going through a divorce and I'm really sad about it. So she talks about it with her friends. She talks about it with her teacher. And then continues her day, having fun and playing with the magic ball and the glittering feather. So it's a weave. It's not a straight-out factual conversation.
And what age group is this geared towards? What?
The book is between 4 to 8, but I had a colleague who's not going through a divorce read it to her 12-year-old son, who's a very bright boy, and he read it, and he said he liked the book. He said because divorce is a scary, his words were, divorce is a scary topic, but this book made it less scary. So even for a 12-year-old high-functioning child, there's a way in which I think the storytelling is appealing. You know, it's like looking at the sun for kids. It's too bright. It hurts too much. You can't look at it full on. So you use the story and the illustrations, of course, to help the child through the process. The illustrations are very intuitive. They're very affect-based. They're very soft. I had another colleague reach out to me, and her two-year-old son saw the book sitting on the coffee table, and he picked it up, and because of the illustrations, he insisted his mom and dad read it to him.
Oh.
They're going through, they're not going through divorce. We just made up a story along with the pictures, but he loved the illustrations. So, you know, parents can even use it with young ones and use the illustrations in any which way they want to explain divorce in simple ways.
We're talking with Esmyra Maker, Dr. Maker, who is the author of the book Family Changes, Explaining Divorce to Children. And so it's a story for children so they understand it, which totally makes sense. And then you have interactive questions for adults for discussions, to prompt the discussion, Dr. Maker?
Yes. So you can use those process questions at the end of the story. You can use them just as a reference guide for yourself as a parent, or, you know, not just as a parent, as a therapist. This book is hopefully also for psychologists and social workers, child advocates, family lawyers who are working with children and can approach these questions, the children with these questions, to better understand their feelings and thoughts and opinions, and allow the child to process in a safe way. These are pretty typical questions and feelings and thoughts that kids have. The questions at the back, the 20 questions at the back, are typical of children.
And obviously, it's you have these questions based on your clinicals and your experience as a professional therapist.
Yes. So these are pretty typical questions that, you know, even older children have. Will my parents be nice to each other now that they are divorced? That's a huge one that parents don't think about.
You know, and it does make a huge difference. I know a family member of mine went through a very bitter divorce. It was a 2-year process, and the animosity is still going on. And I'm very close to her children. And then her children have friends who are divorced, and her daughter was with me one day, and she said, you know, so-and-so's parents are divorced, but they get along. They're so nice to each other. They go to all her functions together. They're always at ice skating with her, and, you know, and she sees a huge difference between her parents and her friend's parents.
Correct.
And it's
really,
not
it's the
sad.
Divorce per se, right? Yes, that is upsetting. There's grief and loss. There may even be anger. But then what happens next is what really impacts the child also. Mm-hmm.
And I think you really, really touched upon something so important, having not being a therapist, but seeing it firsthand, is the importance of these parents to get along. It makes such a huge difference on the children.
Correct. Because to children, your parents are still your parents.
Yeah.
This is still your family. You might be living in two different homes. Your parents may be divorced as a marriage, but they're still your family.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you not want them to get along? And the co-parenting piece is critical. Co-parenting cooperatively is critical.
Co-parenting.
Yes, co-parenting cooperatively. So deciding, you know, who's paying for the shoes?
Mm-hmm.
Who's paying for school? Who's paying for the extracurriculars? Who's picking and dropping? How do we handle holidays? How do we handle birthday parties?
Mm-hmm.
And can my child pick up the phone from my house and call the other parent when they want, when they're missing them?
Mm-hmm.
If the child is sick and missing daddy and wants to be with daddy that day because he wants daddy's soup,
mm-hmm.
can we make it happen?
Mm-hmm.
That's co-parenting cooperatively,
mm-hmm.
in the best interest of the child.
You know, the key to Dr. Maker is that, you know, I understand marriages don't work out, but at the end of the day, when you have children, the priority always has to be those kids. I mean, you know, I see it all, I've seen it so many divorces, is that, you know, these parents get so caught up in what this means to them, and they're not thinking about what it means to the kid.
Mm-hmm. And I think I think the parents can be, for good reason, very raw, very
mm-hmm.
emotional, very affected. You
mm-hmm.
know, their lives are changing dramatically, sometimes out of their control, not in their choice.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think parents also feel that, you know, if I tell the kid the details, if I tell the kid what's really going on, that's in the best interest of the child. And that's when I recommend differently to the parents. So I have a parent who says, you know, well, she made the choice, so why should I tell my kids, you know, we are disagreeing and we are getting divorced. It's her making the decision. So I should say to the kids, I'm not going to lie to my kids. I have to tell them she's choosing the divorce. And then I say, you know, your child is only six. Your child doesn't need to know all these details. You don't have to assign blame and fault at this point. As the child gets older, they will figure it out. You can have more in-depth conversations then. So I will, another parent will tell their children, you know, divorce is bad, divorce is wrong, your dad is doing this, but it's wrong. So there's judgment involved. So now the children believe, oh, you know, divorce is wrong, it's bad, dad's doing something bad, and now there's anger at dad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're talking with Dr. Maker this morning. She has a book, talking to your children about divorce, which is not always an easy conversation, but an important conversation, and how you process that, how kids process the divorce, and how parents engage them in a conversation. And I love the fact that you took the approach of a storytelling, and you as a therapist understand, I never realized the importance of kind of distancing the person to the story, but enabling the child to relate because they're going through something similar. Dr.
Correct.
Mack. Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, the technique of displacement, the technique of play therapy. You know, in play therapy, we use a lot of puppets. We make up stories. We do a lot of play, symbolic play, with dolls and figurines,
mm-hmm.
dollhouses. So that's all more effective. I had one publishing company that works with children's books, and, you know, they wanted to be real people. They wanted to be real children.
Yeah, not the bunny.
Not a bunny. And I was, you know, like, no, I think I want to keep it a bunny. It just feels safer. It feels more displaced
mm-hmm.
for the child. It'll allow the child, I think, I could be wrong, but I think it allows the child to engage more, process more,
mm-hmm.
especially for young children.
Mm-hmm. And what has been the reaction? I know you have shared this book with other children, but with children who have actually gone through the divorces, are you sharing them with your patients, or how is this working? You know.
Yes. Yes. With some patients, yes. You know, when it's appropriate. I've got one family who's separated, but they're not sure they want to get divorced, so I would never share it yet with them.
Mm-hmm.
I told the parents, you cannot share this till you've made a decision.
Mm-hmm.
You need to wait. But with other families who have young children and are going through a divorce, I have shared, and I've got good feedback. A couple of law firms, family law firms, have actually seen the book, and they've shared it with their clients as a tool. And I've received very, you know, good feedback from them that they think it'll be very helpful. They have found it very helpful. So that's good. I'm hoping it will be a tool that will benefit the kids and the parents.
And give it to family courts, too. I think judges would probably want to share that, too.
That probably is. That's why, you know, if the mediators and the lawyers, if you're all coming in and from the same direction with the same recommendations as a model, hopefully more parents and family members will understand that.
We're talking with Dr. Esmyra Maker, the author of the book Family Changes, Explaining Divorce to Children. Dr. Maker, have you been focusing on family therapy your whole career? Has this divorce been your primary practice?
No.
Okay, tell me a little bit about your background.
Primarily, you know, I do families and kids, and then I also work with individual adults. Mm. And sometimes that's just in parent guidance, or sometimes just in working with individual adults on their own childhood experiences, on their own relationship issues. So in my schooling, in my training, I did both. I did a dual track from University of Michigan. I did the child and family track. And then I also did the adult track. Mm-hmm. So I sometimes come at it from both ends.
Yeah. Did you do young adults or all adults?
All adults. Mm-hmm. And then I trained at the Child Advocacy Clinic, the University of Michigan Law School. Mm-hmm. That's when I became very involved in the divorce piece.
Oh, what is that track? So you work with in the law
It
department?
Wasn't a track. Oh. Yeah, the University of Michigan has a great law school, and they have a child advocacy center.
Oh.
And in that, they offered an internship, a year-long internship, training internship, and I was very interested in it, and I did that. And that's when I really became interested in divorce and court systems and mediation.
Hmm. Do you still think there's a lot of work to be done in that area in terms of having seen people go through divorce? I kind of question the whole process and family. Do you think there's a lot of work that needs to be done in that area from your perspective as a therapist, as a psychologist?
I think if we can reach out to more parents and lawyers, family lawyers, who can move more towards the collaborative approach, I think that would be very beneficial to kids. You know, and again, you mentioned it, you know, earlier in the interview, it often doesn't happen. It often, whether one adult or both adults are just not able to get there emotionally. Mm-hmm.
Put their differences aside for their children. Dr. Maker, how do we get your book? Where is it found, Family Changes, Explaining Divorce to Children? Where can we find it?
You can find it on my website, which is aspiringfamilies.com, aspiringfamilies.com, and then you can also find it on Amazon.
Aspiringfamilies.com and on Amazon. And was it newly published in the last couple months? When did it come out?
Yes, June.
Oh,
June 1.
Oh, fabulous! Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
And where are the next steps? Do you see another book in your future?
If you go to my website, aspiringfamilies.com, there's a section on books and upcoming books. I've actually written. You ask an interesting question. I've written a few more. One is on explaining IVF to young children.
Okay.
It's called I Chose You. One is on anxiety with children, how it's, again, a tool for parents to help kids overcome anxiety. It's a story about anxiety. One is a book on pregnancy loss for families, coping with pregnancy loss. One is a very small workbook, which I haven't put out there yet, on gun violence, kids who've witnessed gun violence.
Oh, so you're very prolific.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
Roll the dice and see which one I go
with.
Well,
I think this Family Changes Explaining Divorce to Children is very needed, and I wish you the best of luck. I hope it is very effective for families experience divorce. It could be very traumatic for children. Dr. Esmyra Maker has been our guest here on It's Your Community. She's a doctor and author. You can go. And is there also drmaker.net, your website?
Yes, that's my clinical website.
Okay.
But Aspiring Families is more for, you know, around the book and the other books. And also there's family resources on that website. So,
oh, perfect.
You know, there's resources for anxiety, there's resources for divorce, there's resources for gifted kids.
Dr. Esmyra Maker, thank you so much for joining us here on It's Your Community.
Thank you. This was a pleasure. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Aspiring Families is the website, and her book is Family Changes, Explaining Divorce to Children. If you have any questions or comments or show topics you want us to cover, get to me, Vanessa Denha, by going to info@denhamedia.com. And as always, I wish everyone a very productive day.
It's your community.